This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, we bring you an hour-length dramatization of a motion picture which won 10 international awards, including Hollywood's Academy Award as the best foreign picture of 1948. The film, Monsieur Vincent, heard today in a radio version by Agnes Eckhart from the original screenplay by Maurice Cloche. The story is a true story based on the life of a peasant priest who became one of the first social reformers in France. A man whose life inspired the Vincentian Order of Priests and the Sisters of Charity. Monsieur Vincent, hear it now on the NBC Theater.
It was the year 1617. A man of 37, in a cassock of black homespun, sat patiently, awaiting an audience with the Cardinal de Berulle. His rough, weathered hands were folded in his lap, and the keen quiet of his eyes took no notice of the episcopal surroundings. Vincent de Paul was busy with his private dream. At length, the great doors at the end of the corridor opened to admit the peasant priest.
Well, Monsieur Vincent, it's been just a year since last we met.
Your Eminence is kind to remember such an unimportant day.
But not unimportant at all, my dear Monsieur. I took great pains in selecting a chaplain for the de Gondi family. And from the reports I've received from the Comte et Comtesse, you have more than justified my choice.
I am grateful for Your Eminence's confidence, but I do not deserve it.
Eh, what's that?
I do not want to stay at the de Gondi estate.
My dear Monsieur Vincent, you are a puzzle. They are one of the greatest families in France. Might I ask what more it would take to satisfy Monsieur Vincent de Paul?
More souls and less titles, Your Eminence.
Huh?
The splendor suffocates me. I starve from the richness of their table.
Despite their wealth, I think you will agree that both the Comte and Comtesse are religious people.
That is true.
And they prize your spiritual direction, they have told me so.
But they are so few. So many thousands need help. So many thousands who have forgotten God.
Do you realize the number of priests who would envy your position?
Then give them the post, Your Eminence. I am a peasant. Such a life is not for me. Let me return to the people who need me.
Oh, but there is no parish vacant at the moment. Let's see, I have the list here.
There must be someplace.
No. Except,
Yes? Except, Your Eminence.
Well, there's Châtillon. But it's no longer a parish. There hasn't been a priest there in 10 years. The few Catholics living there could hardly be called
pious. Let me go, Your Eminence.
But you can't rush in blindly. You must realize what the situation is at Châtillon. They don't...
They have no priest and many poor. That's all I need to know.
I think you'll fail. But as you wish it so fervently, I'll write a letter to a Monsieur Beignet, one of the few wealthy men in the vicinity, and ask him to let you stay with him until you can make the parish house livable.
Thank you, Your Eminence.
Now, how long before you would want to leave? A month or two, perhaps?
I shall leave tonight.
Tonight? You must not leave like that without a word to the Gondi family.
Oh, I can't go back. They wouldn't want me to leave. They would do all in their power to keep me. They might succeed. I shall walk, so your letter will reach Monsieur Beignet before me.
But Châtillon, of all places.
Of all places, Châtillon.
Very well. Monsieur Vincent, you are either a saint or a fool. I find it very hard to decide which.
I beg your pardon, Monsieur Beignet, but there is...
Who's making that infernal racket on the door? No one is to be allowed in.
But he says you are expecting him.
What's this all about? Who is it?
His name is Monsieur de Paul. He says he is our new pastor.
Open the peephole. I'll talk to him.
Monsieur de Paul?
Yes.
I'm sorry for this inhospitable greeting. Have you just arrived?
Yes.
And you met nobody in the village?
There's no one in sight.
Every house is shut tight like yours.
All right, it's safe. Open up for him. I said it's safe. He's seen no one. Unbar the door. Welcome to Châtillon, Monsieur Dupont. Did you have a pleasant trip?
Until I reached the town. But here I had stones thrown at me. Do I frighten people?
It's not you they're afraid of, but the plague.
Someone has the plague. Who?
Oh, just a woman from the old district. She's safely walled up in her house with all of her belongings and a child. When we're sure she's good and dead, we'll burn the house. A bit of an inconvenience, but in the meanwhile, my friends and I have been passing the time with music and laughter. Bring Monsieur de Paul
some... This woman with the plague. She's with her child.
Well, naturally, we could not risk a community for the life
of... How long ago was this?
3 days. But we must have patience. The poor take a long time to die. But you'll find amusement...
Where does she live?
Who?
The woman with a plague. I must go to her.
You don't know what you're saying, monsieur. You can't expose yourself to infection. Besides, your rooms are ready here.
I shall not stay here. I live at the parsonage.
The parsonage? The parsonage is half in ruin, and the other part is occupied by a half-crazed, one-legged old soldier who would as soon cut your throat as look at
you. I shall live there all the same, and now if you will open the door.
Monsieur de Paul, we've joked enough. You're very welcome to stay in my home, but if you leave it, I warn you, you will not be admitted again.
I much prefer that arrangement. Now you, tell me where the sick woman lives.
Well, I don't know.
I am your priest. I demand an answer. Where does she live?
The small house at the end of the second lane.
Open the door. You will excuse me, sir, but I must attend to my duties. I thank you for your hospitality. No, there, my child. There's nothing to be afraid of anymore. I'll take care of you. No, don't cry. Don't pull back. No, now this is the parsonage. We're going to stay here and you'll be all right.
Who's that?
Good evening.
What do you want?
A place to stay. Hush, now you're safe with me.
Get out of here. This place belongs to me.
It belongs to me, but you're welcome to stay.
What are you talking about?
This is the parsonage, isn't it? I'm the pastor of Châtillon.
There's no priest here, and no God either. Get out.
As to God, you'll see him soon enough. As to the priest, you're seeing him right now.
Priest or no priest, I won't be made a fool.
No one is trying to. Your soup ready to eat?
Please, you keep away from that soup.
Put down that stick. Child can't eat your bread without a little soup. She'll choke to death.
I'm telling you, get out of here or I'll kill you.
Would you kill me to keep your soup?
You wouldn't be the first one.
Well, you can kill me after you've given the child some food. She hasn't eaten for 3 days. Now put back your knife and find me a spoon.
Nom de Dieu.
Don't abuse the Lord's name in front of me. He created you with love as he created this little girl. And you're both unhappy. That's why you'll give her half your soup. Well, come on. Give her your spoon. Thank you. No. Not too fast. Not too fast. That's it. You see? She was starving.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something else. You're the first Christian I've met in Châtillon.
Well,
how did you lose your leg?
Yeah, I fought 10 years with Bassompierre.
Well, then you have courage. We'll get along all right.
Courage? Yeah.
You can help me make the coffin and dig the grave.
Coffin? Grave? Who's dead?
The child's mother.
What's the matter with the carpenters in the village?
I've been to them. I even went to Rougemont, the squire. None of them would help. They're afraid of the plague.
The plague? Oh, no. I'll have nothing to do with that.
But you've risked death 1,000 times.
The stab of a spear, yes, but not like that. Not that.
Then I'll manage alone. Make a coffin from these boards. I suppose you won't object to my using your saw. What's your name?
Lapogne.
Lapogne. Someday I'll meet your marshal de Bassompierre. And you know what I'm going to say to him? I'll tell him your famous Lapogne, who was not afraid of the Spaniards 1 against 10, turned out to be a coward after all.
Eh?
as frightened as an old woman of sickness. And then de Bassompierre will certainly...
Here, give me that saw and get out of the way. I know how to do that better than you.
Requiem aeternam dona eis domine, et lux perpetua luce et eis.
Amen.
In memoria aeterna erit justus, ab auditionem mala non timebit.
Amen.
Pie Iesu domine, dona eis, requiem.
Amen.
We'll fill the grave now, Lapointe.
Yes. Look behind you, outside the fence. Half the town is watching us.
Oh. A moment, Lapointe. I'll be back. Child, come with me.
People of Châtillon, I want to talk to you. You see, I am still alive and well. The woman we are burying did not have the plague. You criminally killed her with your suspicions. And if I had not broken into her house last night, this little girl would have died with her. Devoured by dogs, perhaps. When I prayed for the dead, I asked God to forgive you, too. And this day, she must be praying for you also. And now, what will you do with this child that God has left to you? She needs a home, another mother. Who is going to take her? I am not speaking to those of you who are well off. I speak to the poorest of you, the one who has barely enough for her own. Let only this woman step forward to claim this abandoned child, and the Lord will smile upon her and bless her. He who is still poorer and still more abandoned. Well?
I have 5 children already, but I'll make out for her.
So be it. She is yours. Tomorrow is Sunday, and the church will be in order. I will say Mass at 8:00.
But it is very important that I see him.
I tell you, he doesn't know, and he's too busy to be disturbed.
What's the trouble, Lapointe?
One of Squire Rougemont's servants. He's trying to find the doctor. But I told him you don't know where he is.
I dare not go back without the doctor.
I haven't seen him. Is someone ill?
Comte Rougemont was wounded dueling. He's in great pain. I've been sent to fetch the doctor, but I can't find him anywhere.
Don't worry. I'll come with you.
Why should you help Rougemont? He turned you out when you needed help, didn't he?
But perhaps he won't the next time. Come along.
Well, you fool, about time you got back. Let me bleed 3 hours like a pig at the butcher's.
Oh, I searched the whole village, Count.
Oh, keep quiet. What are you doing here?
I've come to take care of you. The doctor can't be found.
Get out of here. You'll not say any Latin incantations over me.
May I get you what you need? I'm Count Rougemont's niece, Louise de Maria.
A basin and some linen, if you please. And let's see, yes, I will need a scalpel, a dagger.
A dagger? Haven't I bled enough already? You're a funny priest, grave digger, surgeon.
You had better not talk so much.
Here you are, monsieur.
Thank you, mademoiselle. No.
Where did you... You learn all this?
I was captured by the barbarians and shipped to Tunis, where I served as a slave for 2 years with a doctor. I had been wounded during a fight on a ship.
You took part in a fight with what, your rosary?
I used the sword of a wounded sailor.
Did God tell you could kill your fellow man?
He never said I should let myself be trapped like a rabbit.
I like you. If all priests were like you, I'd go to church.
Oh, I expect to see you there as soon as your wound is healed enough.
Louise, would you be so kind as to pour us a little wine? You must be thirsty, monsieur.
Yes, a drop of wine will be very welcome. But not for you.
Not for me. No one ever spoke to me in that tone. Oh, no one thinks of their duty to their squire anymore. Now our peasants only think of how to keep from paying rent.
They're so poor.
Well, I'm poor, too. Oh.
The wine, monsieur.
Ah, thank you, Mademoiselle de Marie.
Just a drop. A drop.
I'm sorry, no. And you, sir, are less poor than anyone else in the village. So you owe them everything.
It would be a fine to-do if I listened to you.
It would be excellent. Remember the little girl I brought here yesterday? The little girl you chased away?
Yes.
Do you know who took her in and gave her a home?
Who, monsieur?
The poorest woman in the village who already had 5 hungry mouths to feed. And the wealthy of Chef Dion rest quietly at home. And what about that poor woman in her hovel with her extra burden? She will sit a little longer each evening at her spinning wheel. And she'll awaken a little earlier each morning. She'll work a little harder during each day. And she is truly rich.
You give things a different sound when you tell them. But after all, the world is what it is.
The world is as we make it, monsieur, as we make it.
Lafourney, you're coming with more soup. We have hungry people waiting.
I'm coming. There. What would Marshal de Bassompierre say if he could see me in this yard feeding soup to the poor?
He would give you a medal. De Bassompierre knows men fight better if they've had enough to eat, and the same goes for praying.
How much happier a place Chantillot is now, Monsieur Vincent. Did you notice how crowded the church was last Sunday, Mademoiselle de Mariac?
I did indeed. Even my uncle comes to Mass now.
Yeah! Look at the fine carriage driving up. Some great person is paying us a visit today.
A lady?
Oh.
You recognize her, Monsieur Dupont?
Comtesse de Gondi. I'll be back in a moment.
How happy I am to see you again, Monsieur Dupont.
Heaven brought you along this path, Madame, so that I might apologize to you. No, I should not have left your house without an explanation.
Our meeting is not an act of heaven, monsieur. I finally found out where you were, and I came purposely to see you.
Oh?
And to bring you back.
Oh, that is impossible, madame. I have been named priest of this village, and I belong to these souls.
Oh, I know why you left me. Cardinal de Berulle explained your passion for helping many. I realized that one woman, weary and concerned about her salvation, is too little for you. But on my estates, I have 12,000 souls. I give them all to you.
But, madame...
And my husband has agreed to provide a sum for you to establish a mission on our territory. You can get other priests to help you in your work. Cardinal Berulle approves the plan. He wants you to return to establish the mission of Montmirail.
And I had no choice.
Now, Monsieur de Paul, that's all settled. You are satisfied, I hope. You have your mission.
Madame, forgive me. I shall not be satisfied until I have accomplished something.
Oh, you are too impatient. You want to do everything at once. Well,
only Providence can do everything. I shall try to do my little share if Providence is willing.
You will achieve all that you wish. The Duchess of Chevreuse is dining with us this evening.
Please give her my respects.
But you will join us.
Oh, no. I am so unaccustomed to the fashionable world.
Monsieur de Paul, it is the fashionable world, as you phrase it, that will help you raise more money for your poor. The Duchess is interested in your plan. She would like to have you tell her more about it.
But I had hoped to start out at once, traveling, visiting the poor.
Then you must leave that to your other priests for the time, monsieur. If you wish the world to help your cause, you must meet the people of the world. We'll dine at 8, monsieur. I'll expect you then.
Come nearer, Monsieur Dupont. I suppose you're wondering why Cardinal Richelieu wanted to see you.
The question was in my mind, Your Eminence.
I sent for you because I've heard a lot about you. How long has it been now since you started this mission work with the de Gondi family's help?
Almost 5 years, Eminence.
Those missions you've organized along the countryside seem very intelligent to me. Very clever.
Their purpose is charity.
Ah, charity. Yes, your great love. I would love it too, but alas, I have no leisure to think about it. But I can help you to think about it. To accomplish even more than you've ever hoped for. Since Count de Gondi is general of the galleys, I've thought of creating a suitable position for you as general chaplain of the galleys of France.
Eminence.
Monsieur de Paul, you have a strange way of receiving good tidings.
I'm afraid, my lord, I cannot accept.
Afraid? Oh, come now, monsieur. You're a remarkable organizer. Everything succeeds with you. Are you afraid you might not measure up to the task I offer you?
No, Eminence. With God's help and patience, I think I can accomplish any task he gives me.
Then afraid of what? Speak, monsieur.
Of what you kindly call my success, Eminence. I am the poor son of a peasant. I wanted to become a priest that I might help those even less fortunate than I. But now that the mighty of this world have taken notice of me, since they have given me a chance to do big things, as they say, why, I feel it. The essential thing is escaping me.
The essential thing?
Yes, my lord. Since my return to Paris, I have not spoken to a poor man. I no longer know the face, the name of a single poor man. That is what frightens me. I'm not sure I'm on the right path.
Oh, monsieur, everyone has his part to play on this earth. Do you think that I know names? I call. An unknown officer, an unknown face, comes and carries my orders to a certain province. There an army of unknown men marches to its fate. Or in prison at dawn, an unknown head is cut off. Only my king and my country have names and faces that I know.
But Eminence,
I'm not interested in your feelings, nor your preference, Monsieur de Paul. I appoint you chaplain general of the galleys, because His Majesty and France require it.
We have a good start in the race, Captain.
The Real is sure to win today, Count Gondi, with you and her chaplain general on board. And I'm sure Monsieur de Paul is praying for us. Is that not so, Monsieur?
Eh?
You are praying, Monsieur?
Yes, I am praying for the galleys.
Lieutenant, bring us the walking chains.
There you are, Captain. Will you have a cane, Monsieur de Paul?
What is this for?
It is a very clever invention, Monsieur. You see, the knob of the cane opens, and inside you have essence of perfume.
Perfume? Mm-hmm. For me?
It's a very necessary precaution. After sailing half an hour in a headwind, the stench from the crew is intolerable.
You are a saintly man, monsieur. Oh. But the odor from your galleys is so intolerable that in spite of your spirituality, you will need a cane and perfume like a dandy.
No. Oh. No, thank you.
As you like. You'll see.
Raise the cadence!
Oh, they can't do it.
The Levantine is catching up with us.
Don't you find it a thrilling experience, Monsieur de Paul? Monsieur de Paul, you don't seem to be enjoying yourself. Perhaps you'll take the perfume now.
Thank you, no.
The Levantine is catching up, Captain. Cadence 29!
It's impossible. They can't do it.
But they can, monsieur. You will see.
Chaplain General, this will no doubt offend your Christian charity, but the whip is a necessity. At the limit of their effort, it constitutes a stimulant to the crew.
The galley slaves sometimes ask for it themselves. The gag!
Oh, no!
Merely a leather gag. Put in their mouths to keep them from screaming.
Captain, they cannot endure it, Captain. They cannot endure it.
Do not excite yourself so, Monsieur. The Real will surely win. I could raise the cadence, but it's useless. Besides, we lose men every time. Their hearts fail.
They are fainting, dying. This is bestial. They can't go on. They must have help.
Monsieur DuPont.
Chaplain General. Monsieur.
He's taken the oar with the men.
Shall I send after him, Lord?
No. Let him do as he wishes.
But he'll exhaust himself. It's a terrible effort.
Yes. He'll exhaust himself with the others.
But it's preposterous. He's making a fool of himself.
Or perhaps a fool of us, Captain. Captain.
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater is bringing you an adaptation of the prize-winning French film Monsieur Vincent. The picture was produced by Viscount de la Grandière, whose current production is a filming of the Divine Tragedy. We continue with Monsieur Vincent after a brief pause for station identification.
Exhausted he was, but in his weakness, Vincent de Paul achieved a victory. The de Gondi family at last came to understand the peasant priest, and they set him free of responsibility, free to follow his dream.
I hereby and forever abandon my money and land, namely £900, 40 acres inherited from my father in my village, to my brothers and to my sister Marie for her eldest son. I desire to retain in this world no remnant of power or fortune, except to love and serve the poor, my brothers and my masters.
But Monsieur Vincent found it difficult to serve the poor. As he walked the streets, they turned away from his priestly robe. In desperation, he sought out a cheap boarding house in the slums of Paris. Perhaps here he would find the answer. And so he did.
Who is there?
Oh, doesn't Lambert have this room anymore?
I moved in today. The landlady said the former tenant didn't pay his rent.
Oh. Well.
Wait. Can I do something for you?
Lambert used to let me sleep on the floor here. I have nowhere else to go.
You're welcome to stay as long as I am here.
Lambert would give me a blanket, too.
Take both of them. You have no other home?
No.
How do you live?
My trade is a fan painter. But I've been coughing so much lately, no one wants to employ me anymore. I spit blood on the fans. The great ladies don't appreciate blood on their pretty fans.
Oh, what is that?
Don't let it worry you. The man on the first floor has come home. Since he lost his job, he beats his wife every night.
What can we do?
Sleep or try to.
What?
That's the crazy woman from the third floor. She screams like that every 15 minutes. You'll get used to it.
And that? What is that?
The weaver. He gets paid 1 sou an hour, so he works at night, too. You don't know about these things in the churches, do you? I doubt if God himself knows about them.
My God, forgive me for my blindness. I never realized, I never knew.
Portai, Portai.
Monsieur Vincent, I've been hoping you would visit our mission. Come along to the church with me. I was just going to hear confessions.
No, Portai, you must come with me at once.
Well, monsieur.
Back to Paris. We have work to do.
Oh, but I cannot leave now, Monsieur Vincent. My people are waiting to go to confession.
Leave them, Portai. They do not need you as others do. I learned a terrible thing last night. We cannot save the souls of men more dead than alive. We must lessen their suffering and give them life before the poor will believe they have souls.
But, Monsieur Vincent...
We have thrown years away, Portai. We can't waste another minute. Come along. We have work to do in Paris. All right, next. Jeremy Lebeau, I thought your son found a job.
But he also found a wife, and she says I eat too much, and it's not true.
Yes, I know. You have already told me that. You haven't many teeth, but you can take care of yourself at the table, eh?
Well, with a good soup, Father.
The good soup costs money. We are very poor, too. I don't know what to do about you anymore.
I don't know what to do with myself.
Oh, all right. Go on into the table. But you will ruin us. What? You back again, Raoul? I just found you a job.
They fired me. And for no fault of mine.
Well, I'll have another job for you tomorrow. Come back then.
But I'm hungry today.
Very well, go on into the table. But it's the last meal you'll steal from God, Raoul. Portai, if you have a moment, you can help me wash these linens for bandages.
But I have a table of people waiting, monsieur.
Yes. We need 50 heads instead of 4.
And we also need bread, monsieur.
Out already? Well, send someone to buy more.
But there's no money left, monsieur.
Then start the meal with a long prayer. At least we have plenty of that. And we'll see. We'll see.
Yes, monsieur.
Money. Always money. Can nothing be accomplished in the world without money? Not even the works of God? Madame de Gondi, you have come yourself, and at once...
Did I ever keep you waiting, monsieur?
No, madame.
You should have called on me sooner. I'm so anxious to help. Oh, here. Will this be enough?
Enough? Portai! Portai!
Yes, monsieur.
Here's the money you've been praying for. Quickly now, quickly. Get the bread.
And wood?
And wood. A good supply.
Oh, I wish there was something else I could do to help. I want to give something besides money.
What else could you possibly do, madame?
That must be something.
Now, if you will excuse me now, I must get back to my washing. This linen I need for bandages.
Is there no one to do that for you?
The price of a servant will buy many pieces of bread. Bread that belongs to the poor.
Drive on, Basque. I won't need you any longer. I shall finish the washing, monsieur.
Madame.
There must be many other duties requiring your attention.
Doing this is wonderful.
Yes, could I have your attention, please?
Oh.
Thank you. Since this is the first of our meetings which Monsieur Vincent has been able to attend, I think we should begin by thanking him for letting us help in his work.
Oh, yes.
No. It is I who must thank you for your assistance. Without you, I would find it very difficult to continue. You come down among my poor like angels from heaven. Angels bringing food, warm clothes, medicine.
You know, I must admit that I was terribly frightened the first time. Of course, I've always given alms to the poor in church, but I never dreamed of speaking to one.
My dear, I was afraid they'd insult me, but not at all. I find them very polite and respectful.
Oh, not all of them. I insist upon their saying thank you when I give them something. The same method I used with my little poodle. If he wants a piece of sugar, he must give me his paw.
The poor are very sensitive, madam. Requires a great deal of tact to give without offending them.
You must teach us that, monsieur. We shall be patient pupils. But first, we have several very important questions to settle today. First of all, there are only 12 of us, and the poor are very numerous. Do you think we should accept other ladies in our group?
The more members you have, the more...
No, I, for one, am certainly against it. After all, we have our position in society to think about.
Well, I do think we might make some exceptions. For instance, Madame de Guéminet spoke to me yesterday, and I thought
that... Madame de Guéminet. Let me tell you what happened to me yesterday. My butcher's wife accosted me right on the street. Imagine.
Oh.
And she said to me, Madame, I understand that you have founded a society called the Ladies of Charity to help the poor. And she was ready to give £1,000 to be admitted.
Oh, good heavens.
But I said to her, Madame, fortunately, there is still a world in France to which money alone does not buy admittance.
Thank goodness, that was a perfect...
What do you think of that reply, Monsieur Vincent?
Oh, I'm afraid, madame, I was humbly meditating on the butcher's £1,000.
I wish you could stay longer, monsieur.
Thank you. I must get back.
I understand. Well, I shall see you soon.
Goodbye.
What do most of you wear on your visits to the poor?
Oh, I bought one of my maid's dresses. It's very amusing, like going to a masquerade.
I beg your pardon, monsieur.
Yes?
Is this Madame de Gondi's home?
You wish to see her?
Oh, no. No, I am looking for Monsieur Vincent. They told me he was here.
You do not live in Paris.
Oh, no, monsieur. I work on a farm in Suresnes, but I heard there are ladies in Paris who are visiting the poor and the sick. Is that so?
Yes and no.
Oh, I've come to see Monsieur Vincent because... Perhaps I'm being too forward, but I wanted to tell him that...
Yes, you wanted to tell him what, my child?
Well, the great ladies, monsieur, are accustomed to being waited on... They perhaps find it difficult to serve others. But I'm only a farmhand. Every day I do hard and dirty work, so I wondered if perhaps I could help the ladies. Oh, not that I expect them to treat me as an equal, and I wouldn't want any wages, only my food. I'll gladly do anything. I can bathe the sick and bandage their wounds and feed them and scrub the floors and make the beds. Monsieur, since I am nothing but a poor servant girl. I prefer to serve God's poor rather than the wealthy masters. Perhaps it is a sin of pride.
No. No, my child, no. Did you come on foot?
Yes, monsieur.
Have you eaten today?
No. I left before dawn. I had asked directions many times before I found my way.
Go to the kitchen. Tell them Monsieur Vincent sent you. They will give you something to eat.
Oh, monsieur. Do you think I will be accepted?
I am sure of it. And I thank God for sending you to me. You have understood in your simplicity what I did not realize myself. It is with the poor that I shall save the poor.
Her name was Marguerite Nazot, this poor farm girl from Suresnes, the first servant of the poor. The great ladies robed their charity in vanity and self-amusement, but she did it simply. Such is the practice of the poor. And soon others joined her servitude. Nuns whose convent was the street, their cloister a hired room. But as the years went by and their number increased, the Sisters of Charity voiced the same plea over and over to Monsieur Vincent.
Monsieur, find us a community. We cannot go on living in the streets. Find us a place where we may live together with a superior to direct us.
The place was found, the Priory of Saint-Lazare. But a superior to take charge of the convent, that was a different matter. In the Paris of piety or pageantry, there seemed no woman fitted for the task. But Vincent de Paul held fast to his dream, and so it came to pass. He saw her from across the room as she walked through the sick ward, a visitor like so many others.
Mademoiselle du Mariac.
Oh, no, monsieur. You are mistaken. I'm not the person you want. Why do you choose me?
Because you are not happy with the life you lead now.
You ask too much of me, father. These people terrify me. I'm afraid, weak. And I have none of the qualities one needs to direct others.
Father, we need help. A dying man has been brought into the ward, and none of the sick will give him their bed.
Come with me, Mademoiselle du Mariac. You will see how much you are needed. Here, sister, here is a place. Man is dead. Take him away.
He's finally dead. Then the place is mine. I've been waiting 3 days to take his bed. He promised me before he died that I could have it. I want to die in bed. I want to die in bed.
No, I can't, Father. I can't do it. I'm afraid of the poor. They terrify me.
Yes, they are terrible, aren't they? As terrible as the justice of God, which they proclaim without pity. But think a moment, mademoiselle, these rags, these horrors, these diseased, impoverished faces with the sunken eyes. They are men, Mademoiselle du Mariac. Souls of God. Hard and unjust as they are, we must love them and serve them as our masters. I know it is not easy, mademoiselle. But I know the flame that glows in you. Can you turn your back on them now? Can you go back to your life of meaningless ease with their eyes burning in your soul?
How shall I ever manage? How shall I ever manage?
God asks most of those he most loves. But he also sends them strength and courage.
Have we the right to criticize him?
Madame de Gonde, you are too lenient with Monsieur Vincent. At first it was only the old people, but then it became the repentant women, the galley slaves, the sick, the prisoners, the beggars. And now he wants us to take all the war refugees. Really?
Shh, he's coming.
What is he carrying under his cloak? Oh, there's no telling. A loaf of bread, perhaps, or some old clothes for the poor.
I'm sorry to have kept you waiting.
Oh, it's of no matter, monsieur. We asked you to attend this little meeting because we thought you should know how we feel.
Frankly,
monsieur, though we have a profound love of charity, we also have a keen sense of what is possible and what is not possible. God gave women this humble wisdom, and men would make less mistakes if they listened to women more often.
Madame Gosson.
Oh, I spoke before I thought. Forgive me, monsieur.
No, madame. I thank you for your observation. I am glad to know I sometimes lack common sense. As a matter of fact, we sin as often from common sense as from folly. But you're waiting for my answer, I see. I carry my answer in my arms, and I place it before you.
Oh, baby!
Yes, my answer to you is this infant. You think I do too much? I think I do not do enough. Do you know where I found this child tonight? Outside a church, where 3 or 4 like him die every night, abandoned.
Perhaps God wants them to die, monsieur. They are children of sin.
When God wants someone to die for sin, he sends his own son, madame. It is the cowardice, the indifference, the hidden vice of man that lets these children perish.
Monsieur Vincent, though I respect you, I shall not follow you in this regard. I hate sin. I hate vice. And your great love of charity will not make me love this child of sin. I hate it.
God
hears you, madame.
God cannot love it either.
How dare you be the judge of that? I know that God wants me to save this innocent child before all other unfortunates. I shall go out every night and bring back others to this table. You will see them struggling and pleading for life. And we'll see if you will let them die.
Please, Monsieur Vincent, there's an institution called the Cradle which takes care of such children. Haven't you heard of it?
Madame, I only know that if I hadn't passed by Trinity Church tonight, this child would be dead as so many have died before it.
But, Monsieur, the canons of Notre Dame and the judges of Paris take care of the situation for foundlings.
Madame, when I appear before my sole judge, do you think I will say that I allowed these children to perish because I didn't want to interfere with the canons of Paris?
Well, I'm sure that none of the respectable women here will soil her motherly hands by touching these little wretches.
Not one of you? Not a single face? I was a fool to think I could move your hearts, stir you from your selfish solitude. I beg of you, look at me at least. Out of charity, give me one glance that I may not be completely alone. And I have no other choice. I must try to see the Queen. Your Majesty is most gracious to receive such an unimportant person as myself.
I have long been informed of the good you have done for the poor and disabled of our country.
And yet so much remains to be done, madame. It is the children I suffer for the most.
The children, Monsieur Vincent?
The innocent victims of men's sins who are left to die on the steps of the churches. Indeed, those that die are the more fortunate. The others are sold to beggars who maim and cripple them.
And this is our beautiful France.
I wish to save them, Your Majesty. To make a home where they will be cared for in body and in soul.
And is this the next project for your ladies of charity?
Not as yet, madame. They have, of course, done much for me already. And they have been heavily burdened by the war. Oh, the fault is mine. I do not have the eloquence to persuade them. But if someone else persuaded them, if someone they hold in great esteem could set them the example...
And you claim no eloquence, monsieur? Would that the court of France had as persuasive a spokesman as has the kingdom of the poor. You may tell the ladies that I understand the privations of war, for I, too, have suffered them greatly. But fortunately, I still have my jewels, as I'm sure they have.
But your necklace, Your Majesty, what can I ever do?
Promise to pay me another visit, Monsieur Vincent. It is so rare to talk with a man who only seeks help for others, and never himself.
I am so sorry, but Monsieur Vincent is not here just now. We did not expect you.
I do not mind waiting for Monsieur Vincent. And of course you did not expect me. I only arrived from Italy this morning. His Holiness has the greatest admiration for your work. He asked particularly that I visit Saint-Lazare.
Then may I show you around a bit?
With pleasure.
This section is for the old people. Those no longer able to make a living.
That name over the door, Marguerite Nazot, it is not familiar to me.
She was the first sister of charity. She died during the plague of Paris, while taking care of the sick.
And Louise du Marillac, the first mother superior.
Yes, Your Eminence, she died only this year.
What prejudices you had to overcome in this work in the beginning. It must have been very difficult.
Yes, very difficult. Then we always had Monsieur Vincent's determination.
And now you have missions in almost every country in the world. Will future generations ever realize that all this was created by one man against such terrible odds? I have looked forward many years to the privilege of meeting Monsieur Vincent.
I'm sure he will be back soon, Your Eminence. Her Majesty summoned him to a council meeting today. Otherwise, he would surely be here.
Well, Monsieur Vincent, are you feeling better? You gave us quite a fright during the meeting.
I beg your majesty to forgive my weakness.
Weakness? You do too much, Monsieur Vincent. We are both old now.
One is old when one wants to be, madame. When one has time for it.
One must take the time. It is good to reach the end.
I have done so little.
So little? Oh, monsieur, who on Judgment Day will be able to show a record as fine as yours?
No. No. I have slept. I have slept so much, madame. I had to reach 80 to learn that one can do with 4 hours sleep a night. I have often been weak and closed my eyes to forget the misery.
Then what of us, monsieur? Those of us who thought only of pleasure and our own desires. Without you, we would always have kept our eyes closed. I've wanted everything. I've had everything. But you thought only of giving. You sacrificed happiness and power. You built other things than vain palaces and vain glory. Tell me, monsieur, on the threshold of death, do you feel this gaping void behind you? You too?
Yes, madame. I have done nothing.
Then what must one do in life to accomplish something?
More. Always more. I am expected at Saint-Lazare. The poor are waiting. Does your majesty allow me to go to them?
Go, Monsieur Vincent, and tell them that the Queen of France humbly asks their pardon for keeping you away this long.
Monsieur Vincent, what is wrong?
I don't feel very well. But it is nothing but I...
You should be in bed, monsieur.
Not yet. Not yet.
But, monsieur, at least let me call the doctor.
No. No, no one. Oh, yes, there is. There is someone I will see. Jeanne, you know, the youngest novice who will visit the poor for the first time tomorrow. Send her to me.
But, monsieur, that is so unimportant. Anyone could instruct her.
At my stage of life, Portai, one knows what things are important. Send her to me.
Yes, monsieur.
Ah, my God. Is it thy will that at last I go to thee? Wilt thou at last call me to rest? I have done so little. Oh, I'm tired, it is true. I am tired. Who is there?
It is Jeanne, monsieur.
Ah, come nearer, Jeanne. Yes, I wanted to see you, to speak to you. Ah, you're brave and good, Jeanne. And tomorrow... Tomorrow you will visit the poor for the first time.
Yes, monsieur.
I could not always talk to all the girls before they visited the poor. For the first time, one does not do all the things one should. But to you, the youngest, the newest, I must speak. It is very important. Remember well what I tell you. Remember always.
Yes, monsieur.
You will soon learn... The charity is a heavy burden. Heavier to carry than the bowl of soup
and the basket of bread. But in spite of everything, always keep your gentleness and your smile. It's not enough to give soup and bread, these things the rich can give. You must do more. You are the little servant of the poor, a sister of charity, always smiling and pleasant. The poor are your masters, sensitive and exacting masters, as you will see. But the uglier and the dirtier they are, the more unjust and abusive they become, the more you must love them. It is only for your love alone, that the poor will pardon you the bread that you give them.
You have heard Monsieur Vincent, a dramatization by Agnes Eckhart from an original screenplay by Maurice Cloche. Be with us at the NBC Theater next week for a strong drama, the play The Wild Ponds, adapted from the powerful novel by William Faulkner. The following week, a farce comedy by Molière, The Doctor in Spite of Himself. And the week after that, we will bring you a first American radio presentation of a work by Jean-Paul Sartre, The Chips Are Down. Monsieur Vincent was adapted for the NBC Theater by Agnes Eckhart. Our cast today included Pedro de Cordova, narrator. Larry Dobkin was Vincent. Shep Mencken was Beignet. Nestor Paiva, a soldier. Parley Bear was Rougemont. Lillian Baeff was Madame Gondi. Stephen Chase was Richelieu. Jeff Corey, a captain. Frank Gerstle was a lieutenant. Eddie Firestone, a youth. Eve McVeigh, First Lady. Florence Ravenel, Second Lady. Elizabeth Harrower, Third Lady. Lynn Allen was Marguerite. Gloria Ann Simpson, the Queen. Jan Arvan, Cardinal. And Helen Andrews, Louise. Your announcer, Don Stanley. The NBC Theater is produced by Wade Arnold. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. What's on NBC today? Today, the NBC Symphony begins its summer series. The NBC Symphony Orchestra, under the baton of Fritz Reiner, will open the concert with the Roman Carnival Overture. Today's soloist, Bidu Sayal, will sing One Fine Day from Madame Butterfly. Hear the NBC Symphony on this station today. We take you now to New York for the latest details in the National Open Golf Championship playoff.
Here's the latest on the three-way playoff for the National Open Golf Championship. Ben Hogan, Lloyd Mangrum, and George Fazio teed off just an hour ago on the Ardmore course, heading for greens that were slowed somewhat by overnight rains. At the end of the first two holes, Lloyd Mangrum is in the lead by one stroke by virtue of a birdie on the par 5 second hole. Fazio also took a birdie on the second, but lagged behind because of a bogey on the first hole. Ben Hogan played the first two holes at even par, a 4 and a 5. Hogan showed none of the effects of the limp that was supposed to have seized him while teeing off on the 12th hole of the playoff yesterday. Keep tuned to your NBC station for the latest sports news. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.